What's up, guys? Clyde with you here, and I'm with David Seidler. What's up, David?
Hey, how are you?
You've been at New Vision for a while.
Yeah, 8 years.
How many?
8 years.
8 years, wow. Yeah. And you're chairman of the deacon, did I?
Correct.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Chairman of the deacons.
Chairman
of the deacon.
Yeah, we got to put some more bass. I don't know. Yeah. Chairman of the deacon.
The deacon. David, thanks so much for coming up here. Absolutely. What we're doing, this is getting repetitive for the audience, but what we're doing these 2 weeks after Easter is talking about our raised to life story. So in other words, when we were raised to life, when we got saved, and then a little bit about the baptism part of that, showing our salvation. And so without further ado, I'm just going to turn it over to you and see your background and your story.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I was raised in a Christian home, and I'm grateful to be raised in a Christian home. My father came to Christ when he was in college. My mom had always been a believer. And so, I mean, from the very earliest points of my life, God was a part of our house. Jesus was glorified. You know, it was amazing. You know, I was saved when I was probably three. And my mom did this awesome thing when we were little. After lunch every day, we'd have what we call praise the Lord time. And
that's cool.
It was cool. She'd bring out an old hymnal that her grandma had. And it was, you know, it's one of those things that we didn't
every day,
every day.
Wow.
And she'd pick out different hymns, you know, her favorite. So I was singing Blessed Assurance when I was three and it was awesome. But it's one of those things we couldn't touch cause it was so old.
Yeah.
But we'd sing from that and she'd have us memorize scripture. So, you know, Psalms 23, Psalm 91, things like that. Don't ask me to repeat Psalm 91 right now.
Did you get a Werther's original if you got it correct?
That would have been cool. I probably would have memorized more. But yeah, she did this great thing. And then, you know, she put us down for a nap and they just kind of set the tone for the day and the afternoon. And it's a wonderful legacy that she had for us. And then my dad at breakfast every morning would read the proverb of the day. So 31 chapters in Proverbs, right? 31 days and most months are 30, you know. So whatever the number was, he'd just read it to us in breakfast every morning. And so that was, that's kind of how I grew up. I mean, God was there at the center of it. And a lot of things, we were never out of church. They volunteered a lot. It was spectacular. It really laid a foundation for us. I've got three siblings, and so it was really awesome to really kind of be a part of.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to like dig up dirt or whatever, but it's really cool that you have kind of this really good example of good Christian leadership in the home.
Yeah.
So my question is like, did you struggle with always being in church, you know, at any point in time where it's like, oh yeah, they're kind of dragging me here. Did you have any of that kind of phase or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
obviously it's a good thing.
No. Yeah.
And you're here. So yeah. that's good too. So,
we were talking about earlier when I did stray, but I didn't stray far. Right.
Because of that foundation.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I strayed in college, probably a little bit in high school, but I was still in my parents' house. But I left the house and went to Oral Roberts University, which is a Christian college.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that was a rule there is you had to go to church on Sunday. Well, I'd at least be out of my dorm driving around, but I didn't go to church. And
real rebellious.
Yeah, that's about as far as the rebellion went. Thankfully, I struggled there from the standpoint of I was out. I didn't get the grades. I was you know, kind of getting into some other stuff. And my parents, in their wisdom, pulled me out and said, "You're coming home. You're going to work, and you're going to go to church, and that's all you're going to do."
That's cool.
It was cool, and I'm thankful for it because I mean, God in His mercy, really showed me. And during that time, you know, I was working in a warehouse job, which was great. But I knew it wasn't where I was called to be. So I knew that I wasn't fulfilling where I needed to be, but He gave me a new sense of who He was. He gave me some opportunity to serve at church. I got to, serving my youth group as a worship leader and some other things, and really got to engage with our pastors. And that kind of started bringing me back to the right path, and then ended up going to Stephen F. Austin State University in Texas. That's where I was. That's where we lived, and became part of a Christian fraternity.
Oh, cool.
Where I was encouraged by other guys. You know, we were doing weekly Bible studies. I became chaplain.
Oh, wow.
My senior year, which was really great, and had some responsibility there, which kind of made me want to dive deeper. And then I met my wife now. We've been married a while, but she was going to be my wife. I met her, and she, again, God's grace, God's gift, she's pushed me and done all kinds of things. So, yes, there was a point where I was like, all right, I don't need this. But then God in his providence said, hey, I've put these people in your life. I've put these opportunities in your life to really bring you back to me. And that's what he did. It's been amazing.
What I'm hearing is like the benefits of compulsion. Let's say outside compulsion. So you're a kid and your parents kind of, you know, you've got to go to church.
Yeah.
The benefit of that, rather than being bitter or anything like that, that God uses that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you obviously want to be here and you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not mutually exclusive. So I think that's a beautiful story.
It's not. And I'll say this, oftentimes coming here to church anymore is a privilege. It's better than therapy almost to me.
Man, that's good.
Because the joy of the Lord and being in his presence and getting the chance to praise him or worship him or pray, and, you know, and we can do those things outside the four walls, and we should do those things outside the four walls. But being with believers and encouraging and strengthening and sharpening is so important. And it just walking into, I don't care what it is. It can be new vision. It can be, you know, some Bible study fellowship was something that we did for a while too. My wife and I, and it's just always encouraging to bring around other believers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we've heard this kind of long walk that you've been on.
Yeah.
Just real quick, what was the exact moment like you realized you're a sinner and you needed Jesus' sacrifice for you on the cross and apply that in your life? When was that moment?
I knew young. And I was thankful for that, and thankful for my mom's persistence in that, and constant just examples of that, and reading the Gospels to us, and having us memorize Scripture, as I said earlier. So I knew that very early, and I knew Jesus died for me and he cared for me. Now, do I think I fully grasped that at three? Probably not. I think I was probably a younger man when I really truly understood what a sacrifice was and what that sacrifice was and who Jesus was. You know, I was baptized well before then too, right? So I was baptized when I was about 10, and thankful and guided by my parents. And again, they just kept pulling me back after I'd made poor choices. But yeah, it was probably when I was a younger man that I understood what the sacrifice truly was.
I had an earlier episode, Brian Klontz came on, you know, Brian, and he tells this great story, and it's like, oh, that's awesome, from Adrian Rogers, the great preacher.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, if you're driving to Florida, you can either drive to Florida or fly to Florida. When you're driving and you cross the state line, there's a clear sign like, oh, that point, I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
When you're flying, you are nevertheless, there's a point in time which you are in Florida, no doubt about it.
Yep.
There's no process of getting saved, right? But you're not necessarily sure when you flew over that state line.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's a super helpful analogy, especially to folks that got saved as a child and had such a great upbringing that you have.
Yeah, I was fortunate, really fortunate.
Do you have anything else for us?
I don't.
Oh, you know what? We were talking before we recorded and you mentioned Deuteronomy 6. What was that?
Yeah, so something that I think, and it dovetails really well with how my parents kind of approach things, and something that we talk a lot about in our small group. So the community is incredibly important, right? Deuteronomy 6. We get the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And Moses talks to the children of Israel about taking these statutes and teaching them to your children, teaching them when you're awake, when you go down for bed, when you're walking in the road, put them on the doorposts of your house. Never let them out of your sight. And that was, it's an amazing example of what we can do as parents now, as even in our workplaces and otherwise, of being an example and influencing folks in our, in those spheres that we kind of go into,
no matter what sphere.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Our highest identity is that we're Christ followers, right? And so that's incredibly important, and something that was very evident to me and instrumental for me as I was growing, is how my parents did that and how now I want to do that, not only with my kids, but in my place of business, in my, you know, going to the grocery store. It's really, really important.
Absolutely. To influence other people and turn around and do what has been a great example in your life. Do that to others as well.
Yeah.
So, man, David, thank you so much for sharing your story and
my pleasure.
Hanging out with us. I'm encouraged. Throughout the stories we've heard this week, a lot of them are like that upbringing was very positive, very, you know, good looking of the church and faithful Christian parents and leaders. So thank you for sharing that again. And y'all have a great day. We'll see you on the next episode.